What's up, everybody? How you doing? Welcome back to another episode of Living Life Intently. This is a Live Life Dense podcast. I'm your host, Lee Frazier.
I'm Jonathan Canary.
We are in Rec Cove. Stand at the Rec Cove Wilderness Cabins. We sat down and chatted with Jay Rodding, who owns the cabins, and Highland Bow and Arrow. And was it fun?
Smelled so good when we walked in here yesterday.
Yeah. Apple cinnamon on the hot stove. Wood stove. It was hot, though. Before we jump into this podcast, I'm going to tell you guys about a few things. One, we've got a preseason sale on right now for all of our glamping tents and associated packages. So if you book before the end of March, you can save 10% your entire booking. Go to livelifeintents.com. You can check those out. We also have a new hiking, kind of guided hiking trips and canoe trips on the Margaree River launching in the next month. So I'm hoping to get those up there. So if you're looking for any overnight trips, rentals, that sort of stuff, they will be live on the website super soon. And last but not least, please head over to anywhere where you get these podcasts and review or rate the podcast. It just really helps out populating in everybody's feeds and helps out with the algorithm and getting more people's ears on these podcasts. And these guys are laughing and distracting me, but
Jay, you have a tournament?
Yeah, I do. I've got a tournament coming up in July. And I'm really excited about it because it's been delayed for 2 years, basically. Or not delayed on this property for 2 years. Last year, we hosted it somewhere else in the province. But I'm really excited for it to come back to Cape Breton. It's with the Traditional Archers Association of Nova Scotia.
How can people sign up for that?
On my website. It's coming out soon. I'll be kind of promoting the early bird sign up for this pretty shortly in the next couple of weeks.
On social media.
Yeah. And I just kind of want to convey to everybody that started archery here in Cape Breton, because there's a ton of people that have done that recently, bought bows, bought arrows, and got all the gear. Come out. You don't need to be an expert. It's not really a serious tournament. It's more of a fun time. It's big barbecue kind of camping experience, and you learn a lot from really good seasoned archers.
Great.
Looking forward to it.
You want to jump into it?
Yeah. Well, that was Jay, and this is her podcast with us. Yeah. Follow us at Live Life Intense, at Sounds of Fire on social channels, and we're just going to jump into it. See ya. Yeah. So everybody got a good coffee. We're good. We good to go. Y'all good?
Hot beverages.
Rock and roll. Yeah. This one, it's at the perfect temperature now because it's not boiling enough that it'll burn my mouth,
right.
But it's just under the cusp of
you
burning
are
my
still
mouth.
Cautious.
That's my new rap name. Hot beverage.
Oh, that's nice.
I thought you said under the cusp.
That would be a really creepy rap name.
I don't know. I think it's a winner. So we're here in Rec Cove. This is Rec Cove, right? We're in Rec Cove.
You know, it's kind of slightly not Rec Cove. It's kind of more Birch Plains, but no, it's Rec Cove.
Rec Cove. And yeah. We are at the, wow, I couldn't even talk. Too much coffee. Rec Cove Wilderness Cabins, and we're sitting down with Jay Rodding.
How you doing?
Great.
Good. How are you doing, Canary?
Oh, I'm so good.
Great.
Yeah. I'm the best right now.
Are you now?
Oh, yeah.
Hot beverage is, he's hot. He's steamy.
That's it.
Nice.
That's it? Oh, I thought you were going summers with that one.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so we're here with Jay. And Jay and I have known each other for a while. I think you guys have known each other for a while, right?
Correct? A couple years now.
Yeah.
So, Jay, why don't we kick it off? Just give a little intro to who you are.
Hey.
And what we're doing.
Okay. I'm Jay. I own Rec Cove Wilderness Cabins. I also own Highland Bow and Arrow. So Highland Bow and Arrow, I started 5 years ago, just down the road, 4 kilometers. And I moved it up here when I bought Rec Cove just over 2 years ago in 2019. So it's very windy. It's blowing a gale. Mm-hmm, it's average North Shore weather right now. They're witnessing it. They're experiencing it.
Nice.
We can't even fly the drone today.
Well, no, correction. I did.
Well, yeah, you did. Yeah. True.
And then it almost went on its own flight.
Almost went to Inganish.
Yeah,
pretty much. You could have picked it up at Caitlin's.
I had the full throttle forward and it was going backwards. So I've never flown in that wind before.
Welcome to the North Shore, my friend.
Yeah, I had to like get down onto the road in the little wind tunnel and then run up the road. I was like, fuck, I really hope I don't hit a car right now because I'm going straight up the Cabot Trail.
Another beautiful feature of this town is that there are barely any cars in the winter. So you were lucky.
Oh, thank you.
You had a corridor to take that drone home. Yeah. So yeah, we're here and, it's a beautiful winter day. It's an incredibly busy month. Yeah. Everybody's coming to ski and snowboard and be out in the snow.
Yeah. I guess it's what's different now is that Smoky was always open, Ski Cape Smoky, but this year it's kind of, do you see like a big influx of new people here because of the gondola?
I feel like I see more people from the HRM. Halifax area. Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely a bit more skiers than snowmobilers this year. And actually even just snowshoers who are coming to kind of casually snowshoe and sit by a wood stove. They're my main clientele. They like to chill.
Not the people wanting to die for 5 days.
I do have a few of them and I get a lot of snowmobilers as well. But this year I'm definitely seeing a big surge in cross-country skiing and downhill. Also, I would say more so cross-country. People are going to the Nordic Highlands. What's it called?
North Highlands Nordic.
Yes.
Right? I think I got that right.
Yes, North Island, you did. Nordic?
Yeah. North Some Island's combination Nordic. Of those words.
And then there's another guy. Is it Tubbs? Oh, it's less. There's like Maple. Is it Maple Ridge Wilderness Trails?
Oh.
It's right by. Yeah, that's right. I got that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's up a road. It was. He's a teacher. I'm trying to remember if it's Tommy Tubbs or something like that. I think his last name is Tubbs. But he's a. From what I understand, he's a teacher at Cabot. And he's got like a system of trails through his property that wasn't technically open to the public until last year.
Oh, it sounds familiar, but I don't know about it. There's also Ski Tuonela.
Yeah.
People go there a lot,
too. That's been there forever.
Oh, forever.
Yeah.
It's great. They have a double outhouse there.
What do you mean, double outhouse?
There's two holes inside, so you could like take a buddy in.
Oh, we can poop with a friend.
You could poop together if you want.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, mine at the campground is double, but there's a partitioning wall.
Oh, no partitioning wall here. You could share magazines as well. They're in the middle between you.
That's exciting.
Great outhouse.
Interesting.
It brought me and my friends closer together. Which I enjoyed.
Well, that's great. Well, maybe I'll steal that idea. And I'll just cut the wall. I'll take a chainsaw and cut the wall out of the one I got. People love that.
Put like a love in this home kind of like intimacy meme sign above it.
Canary, you know? You're
like,
on this one.
The lovers shitter.
Those who shit together.
Stay together.
Together.
Oh, God. It's going to be cringeworthy posters all over the campground now. Be like, we'll just create another account. There's like the meme account, but we'll create another one for all the sayings, the slogans.
That's it.
It's kind of like a... inspirational quote, live life intense page.
Yeah, like famous couples who have shat here and you have their picture on the wall. That'd be cool.
This is the second episode we're talking about shit. But yeah, I guess I haven't been up here enough this winter. That's for sure. Been trying to get up, but it's a lot of things happening in Margaery.
Yeah, you're a busy guy. You're in the valley.
Yeah, well, I was trying to cut some trails into my property this year, mapped a few out, have like a 6 kilometer loop and then, another trail kind of like up to the top, kind of, 12-13 kilometer kind of up and back.
Ooh, wow. That's a good length.
Yeah. Part of it is on like a road, an actual road. I don't have the access through the properties in between because, there's property that my father owns up top of the mountain. And then my place, and there's a road that kind of accesses that he built to harvest that property like 20 years ago. So part of it is on this road. So it's not great, but in the winter, it doesn't really matter. You're snowshoeing and skiing up that. So,
well, one cool thing that's happened here lately is I hosted a ladies' chainsaw course. Cool. And had all these women come and learn how to chop down all the trees on my property, which is great. I'm like, oh, these are leaning. You guys want some practice?
Man, you get your firewood done for free.
Oh, it was great. It's just a small portion, but I do get all my firewood here. My life revolves around wood. So it was due time. due course for me to learn how to use the woods,
the chainsaw. Oh, the chainsaw.
Yeah, use the chainsaw. I have a splitter too. It goes on my tractor. It's pretty easy to use though. She cuts like butter, guys. Oof. But yeah, so I'm dragging lots of spruce and fir and stuff off this property. That's what, for the most part, feeds my wood stoves.
Yeah.
And I've got a bunch of trails here. One longer one that I've been working on. It takes about 40-ish minutes to do completely on snowshoes. But with all the wind we get here, you know, I got to learn how to get those trees that fall over the trails down. Yeah. Yeah. Got a couple to deal with right now.
Well, you just sell that experience as, you know, just what you did with the, you know, chainsaw course. It's kind of like
experience package.
Yeah, experience package. You know, learn how to junk up firewood and split firewood. And
there's people that go to farms so they can shovel shit. I know we're talking about shit again, but I can't believe that they do that, but they do. They go all over the world to like go do farm chores.
There was almost one in Marguerite that was like a dude ranch, I think they called them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's almost one in Marguerite, but... I think that's no more.
I actually got streams and streams of messages from women after just doing one pretty insignificant little post about it, asking me if I'm ever going to do that again, and they really want to do it. So, you know, I have an idea on my hands here.
So you just get it done in like, you know, either October or the spring when you're supposed to cut your trees and fall them for the next year.
Yeah.
When all the sap and they're like hibernating for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just do it around those times and you just kind of hide it in, slip it in. That's how you get all your firewood done.
Imagine.
Yeah. But and then we've known each other, I guess, for, like I said before, a few years. We ended up, I think it was around the same, you kind of started the archery range around the same time that I started Live Life Intense. And then Jeremy started, CB West Paddleboards.
Wow. I did his logo, actually.
Yeah. And Jeremy's working at Angelo's then. And then Bryson was around, who we interviewed around Christmas, right after Christmas time. Yeah. So he was starting around the same time. And we were doing this documentary around back then, which was for those listening, was like a project that we wanted to shoot a documentary following businesses throughout the summer in three different stages, and spent 3 weeks, I think, filming it and then a ridiculous amount of time editing it. But that was a fun little experience.
Sure was.
Yeah. We're hitting, I think we're at like, I think it's pushing like 20K streams on YouTube, which is just organic. I put it up there in the spring and it just kind of went, and I get messages all the time about it. People comment on the video, or I've ran into quite a few people this summer that stop by the property and they're like, yeah, we just wanted to stop in and we watched this video on YouTube and we wanted to see what this thing was all about.
Did you see any people as a result of that project?
Oh yeah. I still see them. Right up until like a month ago, I was talking to a guest for Rec Cove Cabins, which I didn't even own at the time of us doing that documentary, who came here because of the documentary. I talked to so many people at the archery range about that. I found it actually opened up a lot of people from Halifax.
Interesting.
Yeah. The majority of the people who bring it up to me are from HRM.
Huh.
Yeah.
Crazy. I had people from out west.
Yeah, same. I did. I also had people from out west.
From the States. I had a guy that was like, I was at a concert at Peter LeBlanc's place up the road from my place in the summer. And from a crowd, I just heard my name being yelled over the crowd. I was like, what the fuck? Who is this? And I look back and it's this guy. I'm like, who is this? And he's like a big, just like stomping right across the whole crowd, right? Like a Kid Rock, you know, Kid Rock. Yeah. It's not, yeah, like that. And then he came up to me and he's like, oh, you're the guy from that documentary. I was like, yeah, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm living in Bedeck. And like, he's like, I'm from the States and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, hung out with me all night. Yeah, that was a very, very fun experience. I always like once in a while look at it, because like the experience of like shooting it was fun, and like being on the road with like Wes and Bernie and Carter. And then jumping around, being on the river with guys like Jimmy and Jim fly fishing, and then being, you know, with Bryson for like a night, and then being down here, and we did like the shotgun. I was looking at that footage.
Yeah.
So we did a slow-mo of us shooting. So the idea was we were going to shoot a can of Breton, a hole through it, and then shotgun it with the hole.
But right? I sliced it.
Sliced it. And Carter literally showered in Breton. We shot it at two different angles at like 120 frames a second and then took photos of the whole thing at the same time.
I've never seen the slow-mo on that.
I'll have to get it put together because I think I put it in the side folder to do that later on. And then I just like...
Love to see that.
I never ended up using it because there was so much stuff that we shot of that project that never saw the light of day, but there is so much.
Maybe it will.
So much someday. Product. Yeah. Someday when I go over it, I had somebody comment about they wanted to use it for teaching in the school board outside Halifax or near Halifax or something. However, there was like some curse words, profanity. So they said, if you ever do like a G-rated one, then we'd be interested in using it in school. Yeah. Yeah. But since we shot that documentary, you ended up moving the archery range here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how's that been going?
Oh, it's way better. I was in a weird gravel pit for a long time. People would be shooting. I feel like I'm in Arizona or something. I'm like, yeah, we're in a quarry. But it had a beautiful woods behind it. I don't miss the bears tearing chunks of ass off all my targets. They just always ate the asses. I don't know why. So I'd have 3D targets in the woods booty. That look like animals. And
booty,
then
booty likers.
That's... I'd come out and they'd be assless.
They don't cross the road?
No, they don't cross the road very often.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. Not unless they're trying to get garbage. I don't see them in the woods. So anyway, yeah, they are not touched here. Wonderful. They're very expensive. So assless targets, not a good thing.
Sure.
I enjoy being on the side so much more because of the ocean.
Yeah.
It's really nice to, people just love it. They love to walk through the woods and you don't even know the ocean's coming up and then suddenly it's there. So in many, many ways, it works much better here. I also got to kind of design the way that I want that range to look and have a nice big mound of fill and gravel behind the targets that catch arrows. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. And it's very flat.
Well, nice. Yeah. Probably not. It probably gets a little bit more circulation and ventilation than the old gravel pit.
I was very hot.
Yeah.
I was a very hot girl for like 2 years. Well, why did I choose black as my branding color? I was so hot.
I just remember being there and baking because there was no breeze.
Yes.
And it's just like you're in this bowl and it's just like getting cooked in this bowl.
Absolutely like, oh, no shelter God. Other than the kitchen.
Yeah, no breeze. But yeah, now you get the nice coastline. Yeah, it is pretty beautiful here.
It is.
And you have like a mix of people that come in between like staying in the cottages and do the archeries are two completely different clientele bases.
They're kind of different clientele bases. I have a lot of long-term people in the summer that stay in my cabin. So I'm not kind of renting them out or like every couple of days here in the summer. So, I mean, that's actually nice for me because right now it's just myself doing both. So the archery range is more the activity in the summer. There's all kinds of stuff going on with that. But yeah, the cabins are steady, kind of just taking care of themselves over here in the summer. And then in the winter, I am run ragged with all kinds of people coming in and out.
Yeah. You were saying that summer you have more freedom.
Yeah.
I wish that was the same for me.
I mean, I do for now. I'm kind of at this point right now where it's manageable.
Yeah.
And so in the summer with those long-term contracts, I'm not cleaning all the time, that kind of stuff. I'm just teaching archery. So yeah, that's pretty great. But as I grow, of course, everything's going to get way more complicated.
Yeah. And then you have to bring staff, try to figure out how to market it a little bit better.
Yeah, have that more sort of going stuff. On. There's a whole part of my property. I've got almost just under 28 acres here. And there's a whole part of the property that I don't really use other than to walk on. So got to get that up and running, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. That's what I've been trying to figure out how to develop and make a plan strategy because most times, like, I'm kind of surprise, surprise, could be impulsive at times, right? But yeah, over the years, we just kind of like threw things at the wall to see what would stick for the most part.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out where we sat, what worked, what didn't. And kind of just kind of like test out different strategies. I don't even know if you call them strategies as far as marketing. It was just shit that I just thought would work and just do it. And if it worked, it worked. If it didn't, whatever. But now it's getting to the point where we got to be like a little more strategic in like multi-year planning.
Yeah.
But I'm always curious, what's your biggest hurdle with trying to market this business? Like, do you do any like online ads or do you do just primarily print stuff or how do you approach it?
Honestly, I'm very lucky. So I've been a graphic designer for 13 years. And so I also used to teach some social media stuff. And personally, if I were to choose, I would, I don't love social media. I don't love using it that much, but yeah. I use it because of course it's Instagram, especially for the cabins, and Highland Bow. Facebook is kind of, it's great. It's great for the cabins. It's less great for Highland Bow. So it's been interesting kind of learning which business works on what. But for the most part, if I could, I would totally steer away from it if I could, and live a life offline. But so I'm a little bit one foot in the door, a little bit one foot out the door. It's actually pretty easy for me. That's probably also due to my capacity right now. So it's just me, just two cabins. I really am only filling my schedule when I'm talking about lessons for archery. So once all that expands, obviously the scope of what I'm doing for marketing is going to expand. For the most part, I work on taking lots of beautiful pictures that depict what I do here every day and how it looks and how it feels. And I try and post often. I definitely pay for ads. Especially as I'm transitioning into new seasons.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
And how do you find those work for you?
They work.
Yeah.
I could get real ranty about Facebook. Real ranty, but I won't. So, you know, sometimes I kind of wish they seem to work less and less as the years go on, but, they, cause you pretty much need to pay more and more as the years go on to make them work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they work enough for me.
You should get Canarian to do your, do some,
maybe I should
do some stuff. He's always on everything.
There's a lot of things that I'd like to capture about this place that, I don't currently have, showing out to the world right now. And yeah, I would definitely, I'd love to make a video. I'd love to really go hard on that. And I would say that as I develop, a bit more going on the property, I'd definitely be going there.
Yeah. It's
in my professional opinion, I think you need more kitty. You need more shots of the kitty.
To be honest, I exploit my kitten and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
She seems,
where is the
cat? I took her home cause she was becoming one with the TV in behind there. But, I definitely exploit her and she loves it, man. So I have a little adventure kitty. We go snowshoeing. We go walking. She likes to follow. She is pretty darn
cute. It's an outdoors cat though.
She's well, I got her kind of at the cusp of winter. So, and she was 6 weeks old. So I don't want her to get eaten. Unfortunately, my last cat was stolen by an eagle. So
no shit.
Yes.
I was living at the house next door, while where the campground's at, the house was getting a lot of work done to a new foundation. So I was living next door and there's an eagle's nest on that property overlooking the river. And two big eagles are in there. And that was I had the two cats and I'm like, oh God,
oh, yeah.
I'm gonna let those guys out, especially the big guy.
And especially when there's ones.
He's not going to put up much of a fight.
Not with an eagle, man. The eagle attacked Alec. So if it attacks Alec, the eagle went in at Alec with its talons out in through his window door of his car while he was pulling up to the house to clean it in the summertime.
That's actually pretty crazy.
Yeah, protecting one of the yearlings that was. I think that's the story.
The yearling is on the lawn.
Yeah.
I had yearlings here when the cat was taken and she was teaching hunting and all that. And so it was pretty bad. She was just above the property all the time, every single day. The nest is just across the street. So anyways, I'm trying to make her a smart cat that isn't going to get herself murdered, but like walk in the line of like, you know, making sure she doesn't get murdered anyway.
Yeah.
She's in, she's out. She's in,
be,
she's
be
out.
Be kind of like a cabin hopper.
Yes. I want her to be a cool with going over to cabins and that's why I brought her over this morning. Yeah. But for the most part, she's on to hunting squirrels now. It's a task, that she has to perform, just to live here.
Yeah.
Just
don't start, making it too comfortable because it's kind of, that was the strategy with my cats. I had mice. Yeah. I was like squirrels. I'm not going to get these killers and these killers are going to come here and they're going to murder everything. Great. Mousers, right? And then they got a little too comfortable, and now
they're like women or girl cats or boy cats?
No, males, but spade
males
is that the right one?
Don't hunt as much as females.
Oh, really?
No,
spades not the right word.
Males are lazy.
Spades
right?
Is it neutered?
Neutered if you're male. Spade
oh, okay,
if you're female.
Okay, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so now I have...
Bob Barker taught me that.
He's a gem, that guy. What a gem.
Yeah, so just be cautious of that. But yeah, in these cabins, I'm kind of like, I've been here the whole time just taking notes and like mental pictures of things that I'm going to do. Like, I love the instructional manual for fireplace.
Oh, yeah.
How to start a fire. And I get so many stories about having to go start fires for people at the campground.
That
at one point I was almost going to be like, here's a jug of gas and here's a box of matches. Just don't blow yourself up. Thanks. Yeah. See ya. Bye. So there's probably a story behind why you got that done.
Yeah. I've been here 2 years and I just got it done. It's been on my list for a long time. But especially just getting a brand new wood stove in this cabin, about a month ago, I was like, I'm putting in an instructional booklet. There's a lot of people that are not familiar with starting fires and dampers,
right?
And oxygen, and the concept is difficult, and also, kindling. So, you know, me dealing with all my own wood here. I cut a lot of freaking kindling and I really think it's going to be enough every year, but every year it's like down to the last stick. So I think part of it is a little bit of education.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's why that's there.
Yeah. I guess most people don't grow up with a wood stove in their house. Like a lot of people around here do.
Exactly.
Or have a lot of experience doing it. Even in the campground starting fires. Yeah, that's
almost worse outdoors. Actually, it is worse outdoors.
You think?
Oh, for sure. You've got like humidity and the weather, and the weather the day before is all going to matter for starting a fire. And plus, people can tend to like really start stripping the outer edge of the forest of kindling and stuff. Do they do that, or do you provide them wood?
What do I? Yeah. Do I provide them wood? Yeah, we have wood to buy at the campground, but it's never every year. I usually, like last year, we track how much firewood we sell every year. And then I know what to prepare for. So last year I doubled the previous year. So I think there was like maybe, I'm going to go with like 300 to 350 bundles. So, excuse me, a bundle would be like a milk crate. And we have used slab wood, and it's always just softwood slab wood. And I used to just get it from our sawmill. And now I get it from another guy that's got a bandsaw mill. But yeah, we ended up doing like 300 and some bundles. And by, I would say, kind of mid-August, maybe, we were out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that was because some of it wasn't, I knew staff that wasn't tracking the actual numbers. Like, because when somebody came in, like, here's $5 for a bundle, they just put it in the firewood jar rather than adding it on their booking so we could track the numbers. So I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that stole it because ours is like self-serve.
I see.
Because I don't want to be after 9 o'clock or 7 o'clock when our shop closes. I don't want people to like knock on my door in my house and be like, can we buy firewood?
Yes.
And I'm like,
yeah. I can see both reasons.
It's a trade-off almost.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I definitely people, the outdoor fire pit here is 4 feet wide. It's big. I got Gordon from Iron Art to make it.
Yeah.
And it's full of holes because he put all these beautiful lasered images into it. So like little moose and all kinds of beautiful stuff. So a lot of air flowing through it, hard to light. And yeah, I got to be careful in what I put out there. I got to be a bit more proactive with people asking them, would you like a fire tonight? Because if they do and they do it by themselves, I could wake up and have like everything be burnt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. After like, you know, 5 failed attempts of lighting the fire, all the kindling and all that stuff is gone. So yeah, it's a dance, man.
Yeah.
You got to dance the dance.
I mean, nobody likes it, lights a fire like Bryson though.
Oh my God.
Dude, his fires are epic. Yeah. I know it. I mean, look at them online, but I've been to one and it's pretty
so
wild.
When we were doing the documentary, this is stuff I didn't put in that film. So we were left here. It was in the fall when we were down in August or whenever that was. I think it might have been September, October sometime. I can't remember. It was the fall one because we went from here, we went to Smokey, and then we went to Bryson's. And so we get to Bryson's and he's got his RV, which is not running anymore. It's the F-bomb. Right. Mm-hmm. So he goes, pile in, boys, we're going to the beach. So I'm going to pile in. And there's a scene in, if anybody watched a documentary, there's a part in it where he's kind of talking about like a game they used to do on the bus. Right. So it would be like they would, a hitchhiker, they'd pull over, go pick up a hitchhiker, and they'd have to roll a dice. And if it was like a certain set of numbers, they would leave them on the side of the road. But if it was like 1, 2, and 3, right? They rolled a 1, 2, and 3. They were off the, like, didn't get on the bus. They're like, nope, sorry, next one. And they kept driving. But if it was like 3, 4, 5 or 4, 5, 6 or whatever, they would get on and they would give them that much beer. And then once the guys ran out of beer, then they would have to roll the dice again. And if they got a certain set of numbers, they were off the bus. No matter where they were, they're off the bus. But if they rolled the good numbers, they would give them that much beer again because they had a beer sponsorship. So they had like cases and cases of beer. So this is this, and he told us a couple other stories. But at the same time he's telling us this story, we pick up two kids. He just automatically drives the side of the road. There's two kids hitchhiking in Dingwall. And he's like, pulls over and he goes, get in. And he gets on the bus and drives them home. And then we go to the beach. And so we're on the beach and he's talking. He's like, yeah, we're going to have a big fire tonight, blah, blah, blah. He said, got no firewood. So we're going to have to pick it up on the way back. I was like, oh, okay. Yep. What do you mean? Oh, we'll pick it up in the RV. Like, where are we picking it up? Oh, it's just side of the road.
Yeah.
Like side of the road. And we leave the Dingwall beach and we are driving towards there's the main breakwater, but like in where all the boats are parked, you kind of come through this little narrows and he stops the van. He's like, okay, everybody out. And there's literally logs with roots, sand, seaweed. Like
anything. I have caught him doing this. I absolutely have witnessed him do this.
We're in the RV and he rolls the windows down and we're ramming logs, like 20-foot logs through the windows, hanging out of the side windows of the RV, out the back window, in. I'm literally sitting, my head was touching the roof of the inside of the RV because there was no room for us to sit because there's so much wood in there. And then we come back to the hostel and he grabs the chainsaw and he's been bare feet, chainsaw, no gloves, pair of shorts. God. And he's going, and you just see sparks because it's hitting all the sand and all the rocks. And it's just like, you're just seeing sparks shoot off this blade.
Bryson, if you're listening to this right now, you're crazy, bud. But we love you.
But that was one big fire. That was a large, large fire. It was fun. Yeah, he did some big ones.
Not the last time we were up there, but I was up there in the summer, and one of the neighbors, or like maybe the county or somebody, dropped off a pile of stumps that they had pulled. So yeah, he was just like putting stump after stump after stump. I think the pile was like 8 feet high.
That's hilarious. He's a resourceful fella.
Yeah, couches I've seen, mattresses.
anything that will burn.
Anything that will burn that will give his guests a very good experience. But fires. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I like I'm basically stealing all your ideas with the little instructions everywhere. I'm put it that way right now.
You can steal them. I can.
Well, I'm not going to take them right off the fridge, but I'm going to.
But no, take the
I'm
ideas.
Take pictures and laminate these cards and get them done because we were looking at doing we have like an adventure guide that we have in like the glamping tents. We have it in our shop, which is literally, it just has like you're on there and like the hostels on there, and just people can reference it and take a picture like of the restaurants, different companies, that sort of stuff. But I wanted to kind of expand on that for the next upcoming summers, something like that.
I've got a nice system right now. I may move away from it, but I am pretty one-on-one with everyone who books. They have to call me. They have to email me. Eventually we get on the phone. So I talk directly to people and I kind of dig in to find out what their plans are, what they're doing up here. I also like to convey a lot of information around the winter.
Yeah.
People are secretly very, very anxious about driving up here. In the winter, they just assume that it never gets plowed and it's just, you know, they're going to die. And so I like to convey that kind of information a little bit. And I also, you know, really like to let them know that there is nothing here for you to go do other than being outside. And there's so many wonderful things to do if you like being outside, or if you like to just sit by a wood stove and read a book or something. But there are no restaurants. There's not a nightclub. I was asked that once. Where's the nightclub?
Hey, I think we got this, eh? We could start one.
Yeah, we could start a nightclub.
Start a nightclub in Inganish.
Speakeasy nightclub. Middle of the woods. We'll do it like every like full moon. You know it's there.
Yeah.
And right? You're going to walk into it.
I think that guy had like white leopard or white snake skin pointy shoes on. I was like, this guy's not in the right place.
My gosh.
Looking for, looking for somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. But that it's trying to convey that information to clients is like kind of a, it was something that I did it kind of the similar way to you, for years. And then it just got to like, you know, I just try to kind of automate things a little bit. So I just spent the last 2 weeks kind of in the evenings editing all of our like email notifications.
I'm hearing something on my headphones.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Feedback of some kind.
Yeah, I got it too. But I'm not going to worry about it.
Okay.
It's just from one of the mic things. Whatever. Yeah. Trying to convey all that stuff to clients, before they get there. But, it's kind of like I was telling you before, early, it's easy to do on like platforms like Airbnb where people pay attention to it, but mm-hmm. then that's the biggest downside. So we spend a lot of time when people show up to kind of talk them and, you know, they come down to chat and we give them kind of like, what there is to do around the property, but, time consuming.
It's very time consuming. Yeah. I mean, the way I do it is time consuming as well. I don't really see people when they get here because COVID, you have self check-ins. It's very easy to manage. But yeah, I do all the work before they get here. I try and get them set up in the right ways.
What's the biggest challenge you've had since taking this business over?
Probably staff. Running this place alone isn't ideal. I am kind of not able to grow either one, kind of doing that, of course. So I would say, you know, the most difficult thing is, if I need a staff, I'm going to have a house for that staff. There's nowhere in this whole area for anyone to live. And we're all kind of aware there's a housing crisis. There's also kind of a staffing crisis. So even finding that person yeah. is difficult. But I would say that my biggest hurdle is, I'm going to house whoever works here. Because there's just no other opportunity.
Tent in the woods, tent in the firebox.
I would be down with that.
Thunderbox.
Oh, that's the one. Yeah, Thunderbox.
Thunderbox. Yeah, Thunderbox.
You have to really like it out here to work out here.
Yeah.
You got to like being independent and being out in the middle of nowhere kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess over here is a little bit different than Marguerite.
Definitely. The community is incredibly sparse here.
Yeah. I mean, but there is people looking to come out. Have you ever looked on the Workaway website?
Yeah, I've used Workaway.
Have you?
Yeah.
How did you find it?
I had woofers my first or second year with Highland Bow. I have actually worked with woofers and as a woofer quite a few times. I love it.
You had good experiences from
Yes, I had two British people come and it's great.
Interesting. Cause I was on there. I found a guy, I've had a listing for like 2 years, but I've never hired anybody from there because I was kind of apprehensive about it. I just wanted to have, somebody that was like most people want through Workaway. If people aren't familiar with it, it's just kind of like a work stay travel kind of exchange thing, but you can kind of like negotiate terms.
Yes.
Kind of like there's a standardized terms. And when I talk to people, they're like, you know, normally like kind of like 20 hours a week and you exchange for room and board or something around those lines.
There's also a cultural contribution that I think anyone that's working with that
yeah.
website needs to kind of consider. People who are coming here, it's a bit of a trade-off. Some people want, you know, maybe a part-time job that's paid and then they'll work the other half to pay for their room and board, yeah. even sometimes food, that kind of thing. But most people that I have worked with are kind of expecting to get, you know, shown around a little bit,
yeah.
have time to be able to go do fun things. And so it was a nice experience for me because I was both encouraging them to go do that kind of stuff and helping them plan out their free time.
Yeah.
But keeping them super busy and also engaged with what they were doing. At the time, I was living in a farmhouse. So they did all kinds of things from like archery target stuff to greenhouse stuff. It was pretty cool. Yeah. I ate a lot of chickens then.
I think I'm going to take some people because I got four or five people that I've been kind of going back and forward with. But I'm at this point, I'm just trying to look at for staff, right? Just solid staff that's committed to a certain window rather than, you know, people coming in for like 2 weeks here or a month here, a month there, and that sort of stuff. But like now we have some extra stuff that is not enough hours for like one full-time position or half part-time position, but we can fill with like work stays. But
yep.
Yeah, but I think like from what I've seen is there's a there's an increased number of people that are looking to move to rural Cape Breton for a certain experience, and just be for like the summer for a couple months. Like, I've got a lot of people just asking about it, a lot of people traveling through in the summertime. This year, it seems like, I put up looking for staff like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, and probably have like close to 20 people that applied for it. It's kind of crazy.
It's good.
Locally, people from Halifax, people from Ontario, people from BC looking to fly out for a summer.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. It's just, you know, it's kind of hard to deal with that because the pandemic is so, I don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. Like, for example, there was people looking to come from even different countries and stuff like that to work out here at my my peers' businesses. So people that are kind of outreaching right now. And it's difficult. It's difficult to kind of set up the plans for that amongst all this stuff. Although I'd say we're kind of in an ideal spot in terms of the pandemic, finally. It's hopefully we're just going to live with it from this point on.
We'll see. We'll see.
I never had a huge problem with archery because archery is sort of socially distanced anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
same with like a lot of like the outdoor stuff in the campground. I remember when things first started, there was no, I mean, of course everything was up in the air. There was a lot of like uncertainty. People didn't know if everybody's kind of like in a total shutdown, like let's figure this out thing. So I don't think like unserviced campgrounds and river tubing was high on their list to figure out the regulations for.
Yeah.
So we just kind of opened and I just said, you know what? I'm just opening. We're going to follow. Here's, we put together safety protocols, which ended up when it did come out, I think in like July of 2020, was in line or less than what we had put in place for our protocols. So we just sat down and came up with a plan. We're like, well, this is what we're doing. And then last year too, I just said, I'm open. June 1st, I'm open. Mm-hmm. If you want to come camp, come camp. That's like, it's open. The tour started like mid June. But we didn't have many issues. So, you know, everybody at that point just wanted to be outside. So that was the benefit of having
we got the outdoor
thing.
Activities, man. They kind of work.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Canary, what are you doing? You're kind of quiet over there.
Oh, you can't get a word in. I'm just enjoying this caffeine buzz while you guys talk. The last time I was here, we filmed East Coast Kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was actually going to put that moose skull in your bed. It's very wet.
Oh, my God.
It looked a little green as well, so I thought, okay.
That's so cool.
To back that story up, Canary came, and I have skulls and antlers and bones scattered all over this place. They're conversation starters. For example, on the trail, I like to leave piles of moose shit because they're also conversation starters, and they shock the shit out of people that aren't from here. Oh, yeah. Is that... What is that? What could have shat that? The moose. Pretty funny. So anyway, I had this, it's kind of a small rack on the skull, but it's this really cool skull I found down in North River, and, Canary was playing with it the whole time.
Yeah.
Making us all laugh.
Yeah. I really enjoyed, shooting that TV show.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, cause I just get to be silly all day and keep the morale of Liam and Lucas up.
Right? And they loved it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard for anybody who's like working in a production all day. Like if you're the center of that production, it's exhausting.
It's very exhausting.
You know?
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what it must be like for a kid.
And they're not really in control either. Like they're not making the decisions. They're kind of, you know, they're
just the puppets.
They're completing the episode.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
By getting the footage. But I loved when you made him touch the moose shit. Remember?
Yeah.
You made him crumble it all up. I was like, yeah, I'll crumble it up. He's like, I can't believe it's so gross. I was like, they're friggin' vegetarians, man. No big deal.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not as poopy as real poop.
it's just grass.
Come on, get it out. So, today, Junior.
I made them laugh. I kept telling them all day that I'm like, oh yeah, I can call a moose.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Well, you can. Oh yeah, no, I know a moose call. Take them right out of the woods. And I got them going all day with it. And then they're beg me. Finally, Canary, Canary, do your moose call. Come on, show us your moose call. And I went, moose!
And then that was requested like 19 more times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Got a few videos of that.
Got to get a couple laughs out of that one. He's kind of like the morale booster of every trip.
Yeah. Director of morale services.
Pretty much.
Love that.
That's what you are on the op order for the Highlands trip next week.
That. I was going to say, I bet you he's that on your trips.
You know, and it's a good gauge for me too. It's like when Canary shuts up and he's like quiet. Then I know something's wrong.
Yeah.
Then I know he's in either.
You
in
know
pain
how to support
suffering.
Your friend.
Or it's like, I think we better take a break now.
Yeah. It's like, boys, so we've been going straight for the last 2 hours. Yeah. Let's just take
Canary stopped singing. I think everybody's tired.
Yeah. Yeah. And then mine is like, I get real quiet and I like drag behind and I start cursing myself. I curse a lot.
But they had a really good time.
That's
here.
Good.
Yeah.
There's actually very few places, if I can even think of one right now, where you can just show up anytime to make an appointment to do 3D shooting.
Yeah.
So going on a trail and shooting lifelike targets and the system being kind of based on ethics too, right? It's like ethical hunting. It's you were trying to shoot certain places to get higher points, and it allows me to kind of let people know to not shoot things in the head.
Yeah.
Stop shooting things in the head, everyone. It doesn't
what?
Actually
what about zombies
work. That's the only thing. I do have a zombie target. It's the highest points are the head. But yeah, so it gives me a lot of opportunity to kind of let people know good information like that. But you know, to have it filmed and have these young kids go around do it, and also with adult sized recurves.
Yeah.
They were killing it.
So, just for the benefit of our listeners, why don't you shoot things in the head?
You don't want to shoot things in the head because it doesn't kill the animal a lot of the time. It's maiming, it's injuring. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Truro has this huge surge of deer and has for years, and they're all over the place and they're docile walking around town. So there's a lot of people that have a crossbow or a compound bow and they think it's a good idea to shoot them in the head, and then they continue to walk around town with a arrow through their head.
Whoa.
Huh?
Cool.
And so, is it though? I mean, it's actually horrible.
No, but it's, I mean, it's.
Imagine.
It's yeah. not.
Hey, Laura,
cool.
Laura, there's another deer out there with an arrow.
There's another zombie deer here.
Yeah, it's horrifying, guys.
Yeah, I bet it is.
You don't want to shoot them in the head because what you're aiming for is vital organs. Mm-hmm. And to kill for vital organs, you need to slice arteries.
Yeah, like the neck.
Except, well, yeah, you need to have a broadhead on your arrow, for example, with razor sharp edges so that you can slice arteries on the way in. Mm. So the other thing, too, is you can't just take a regular arrow that I shoot targets with and go out and kill a deer.
Yeah.
It's actually probably going to go straight through an animal or injure them to a point where they're just going to die from an injury slowly with a lot of pain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the main reason. Don't shoot things in the head every single day of my life. Mm. Don't shoot the sky. Don't shoot things in the head.
Don't shoot the sky.
Yeah. And I'm not Katniss. I think those are the three things I say the most often.
Oh, yeah. Don't shoot the sky because it just becomes a lawn dart.
Yeah. Like, okay. You could just shoot your own self if you wanted. Like, it will go anywhere. I've had lots of people ask if they can just shoot arrows up into the sky.
My whole childhood was wrong.
You mean it doesn't keep going?
Your parents were not paying attention.
We used to set up pumpkins out in the field, the pasture. We didn't have animals in the pasture, just to clarify.
Great idea.
We used to, but we didn't at this point. And then we would try to, you know, you just try to get your arc right and try to.
That's cool.
That's what we would do.
That's just long distance. That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of pumpkin shooting, especially an older pumpkin.
But this was like straight up in the air.
That's just long distance.
Okay, cool. Cool.
You had the space.
Got it. Thanks.
Yeah, but like shooting up and there's like four other people you don't know shooting archery next to you. It's like, probably not a good idea. Why?
Well, the hospital's away from here.
Well, let's find out.
Yeah.
You guys sign your waivers, right? Right? Yeah. Okay, cool. So, I mean, we're pulling up to the happy hour here, the Canary happy hour. We switched it up this week.
Rapid fire.
So this is a segment that we ended up putting in. Well, he put it in. This time I'll include that.
You got to include the, yeah.
Okay.
Winter, summer?
Summer.
Summer. Why?
Because I'm a big forager and I love finding all the cool things to eat in the mm-hmm. summer. It's so exciting.
Forage a lot of mushrooms?
Yeah.
Me too. Tea biscuits or oat cakes?
Tea biscuits, because they are they're butter. They're vehicles for butter.
Yes. Are you a molasses person?
I could definitely take some molasses.
I think that's like an old school, because when I pulled out molasses when I was in Halifax, I was like making
people
biscuits.
Like, who's
people
are like,
what
guy?
The fuck is that?
I'm like, who's Grandfather Fraser over here?
It's molasses. Molasses.
Oh, well, back in the day before sugar.
So, yeah, molasses with some cheese. Oh. A little like sweet and salty or savory. Sweet and salty, savory. I don't know what I
could get into it.
Favorite movie?
Slackers. This is such a weird, obscure movie.
Which one is that?
Never heard of it.
Devin Sawa was in it. And the guy, what's his name? Oh, shit. Anyway, it was about cheating on tests. It's really funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kayak or canoe?
Kayak.
Kayaks.
Like sea kayak or river kayak?
I would say sea kayak because that's what I own.
You have one.
It's a bigger one. It's not like fancy in any way.
Oh yeah, okay.
But
do,
yeah.
Do you boat much here?
I just got it.
Oh.
So where I would take it is probably up above the mountains here on the lakes that are in the Highlands, just across the street.
Interesting.
Across the street is the entrance to the Highlands Roads. I'll just put that in context. The Highland, there's about, I think there's 1,500 kilometers, 1,100 kilometers of connected roads up there.
Oh, yeah. There's roads to everywhere.
I can't remember how long, but a lot. So
the locks are up there.
Yeah, you can. There's a lot of lakes up there.
Yeah.
It's very fun. I like to bird up there.
Interesting.
Compound bow recurve.
Recurve.
Right.
I think we knew the answer. I'm pretty sure I knew the answer.
I just figured, maybe.
Not to hate on compound shooters. But I kind of hate on compound shooters.
Yeah. Because it's cheating.
It's kind of cheating.
It's fucking
like, that's
cheating.
How I feel like in my soul. But I am happy to see a hunter who's a compound shooter. I like that accuracy. That's cool.
I had into it. You probably don't know this. Maybe you do. One of the heads of the commercial financing for the East Coast Credit Union hunts with recurve bows that he makes himself. Like he uses, and they use tendons, right? For the line. Yeah. So he makes all that in his shed and he was showing me pictures.
When you say tendon.
From an animal,
like a deer. So he'll shoot a deer with the bow, harvest it, take the tendons, use the tendons to make other bows.
That's a super old school process that not a lot of people are doing left in the province doing right now.
Lives in Dartmouth, and because I went in 2 years ago, had a meeting with them, and business suit, we're in there, just signing some papers, and then he's like, so what's the business? I was looking online, I was like telling them about it. He goes, oh yeah, this and this and this. He goes, oh, I make bows. And I'm like, oh, you make bows? And then the whole photo album came out, and I was in his office for like 10 minutes to sign papers.
Pulls open the trench coat. Can I interest you in some tendons?
Bows.
But it was pretty cool. It was interesting. I'm like, you actually hunt with these? He's going, yeah. I'll go hunting with these bows.
Wow. I probably might even know who he is or know of him because there's so few people doing that in the province, but very cool talent. Mm-hmm.
Rivers or beaches?
Rivers.
Ooh.
I love a river.
You got a favorite river?
No, I don't say I have a favorite. I have favorite spots on rivers.
Yeah, tell me.
I mean, the Musquodoboit River is I'm a fan of that. I spent a lot of time kayaking down that and canoeing down that and camping out on the Musquodoboit River. I also had a camp in Musquodoboit most of my life. So I do love that river, but I don't have a favorite.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
You say dogs.
I'm a new to cats.
Oh, wow.
Cats have not been in my life the whole time.
Do you have a dog?
Oh, yeah. He's 15. I've had him in my life a long time. I've always had dogs all my life.
Oh.
Yeah, I kind of like how dogs, participate more.
Mm-hmm.
Cats are just kind of like, fuck you.
Yeah, well, we are their staff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I feel condescended to at times by cats.
I've got a
Your cat is so fucking cute though.
She is adorable.
I've got a buddy of mine that's got Omac. It's an offspring of one of my parents' cats. And it hunts, goes out with him in the woods. Mm. And it'll like sit on his shoulder. And I forget the type of cat, Norwegian type outdoor cat, big long hair. It kind of looks like yours a little bit.
Yes.
And so they're meant for like winter and hunting. It's
Might
mother.
Be a Mancun, yeah.
Its mother was like a white cat with blue eyes and would bring back rabbits bigger than her and
That's
feed
so nice.
It to the kids. They barely would eat any of the feed in the house when we were growing up. And would hunt. And this cat that we gave a bunch of them out, and Max got one, and it like hunts.
Those are good genes. I picked my cat up in Middle River, so she's got good farm genes. Mm. She's born in a barn. Love that for her.
Yeah. She was like a little caffeinated this morning.
She was, I think your deep voices were.
Yeah.
She's were like, surprised.
What is happening here?
Like, what is this male energy?
Yeah. Although she was super chill when I was holding her.
Yeah.
She was like, I like this.
Yeah.
Sauna or hot tub?
Sauna.
Yep.
Definitely sauna. Mm-hmm. I mean, hot tubs are cool, but they're kind of gross. And also, saunas are just cooler because I love Kathleen's experience, which I've been to your event, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Doing with Kathleen, helping her set up and stuff like that. Kathleen's been here a few times. So for anyone that's interested, she's got Darling Banya on Instagram and she has a mobile tent that comes. I love saunas, dry saunas, wet saunas, all of it.
I know Kathleen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
She works on costumes and stuff too for movies.
I know her. I know a lot of my friends and colleagues know her very well, but I actually met her. She works at a coffee shop. I go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She used to.
Yes. Or did. Yes. We said we weren't going to do this, but we'll do it. Mary fuck kill. Apple pie, blueberry pie, coconut cream pie.
Oh, man. Well, you kind of already know. I definitely fuck coconut cream pie. I definitely kill blueberry pie. Or no.
Really?
Apple pie.
Oh, okay.
And I'd marry.
Blueberry?
Yeah.
Like ice cream?
I could have a long relationship with a blueberry pie. I'd
Would
say.
You do ice cream?
Fuck yeah. On the side. That'd be my side piece. Vanilla. I'm vanilla about it.
Hello. Oh, the puns.
I'd be real vanilla about that.
Yeah, that's great. So, I guess how can people get a hold of you?
I'm online. I mean, my websites, my social media, Instagram and Facebook, although I'm considering getting a TikTok account for Facebook. What's your vote? Should I get a TikTok for Rec Cove Wilderness Cabins?
I haven't jumped into there yet. It is. So
are you going to put the effort into
it? Are we old millennials? Like, is this what's happening?
You're going to hire a child to come and do it.
I'm going to have to hire a teenage girl.
I don't know. I was listening to a lot of podcast this week about social media marketing, like 24 hours probably a podcast so far.
Wow.
And I go in.
Yeah, you're going
and
deep.
Like, I'm just gonna, and then I reference them back, you know. Anyways, but they were talking about TikTok. So you know how you were saying Facebook is like, it's harder and harder to get reach, organic reach, and like even paid reach now. They make it a little bit harder. However, like TikTok is kind of like where Facebook was when it was easy to get reach.
Yes.
It's super easy right now, even though it's been 2 years and it's still in the infancy and it's still like a highly used platform. You just got to kind of think of like the demographics too. It's like when I'm thinking about Facebook and say Facebook ads or ad copy or whatever, it's geared to an older demographic. Instagram is kind of like our age group demographic. And then TikTok would be the younger, there's still older people using it, but generally it skews younger. And they say if you jump into TikTok, from what I'm gathering from all this information, is to do it for like native to the platform. So more like less professional, just on your phone things. And, you know, you could do like how to start a fire. And like,
I could also just exploit my cat more, which is kind of my plan.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this kitten going. She gonna get on TikTok
and lean into
she gonna
that.
Sell these cabins.
Lean into that.
I'm gonna lean into it hard. Maybe I'll get another cat friend for her, and they'll just I'll just have drama and I'll record it.
And do voiceovers?
Oh, do you guys follow Tony Baker?
No.
Oh.
Who is this?
Tony Baker is a comedian. He is my favorite account on Instagram. He does voiceovers for pets. Hilarious.
Interesting.
Hilarious. Everybody needs to check out Tony Baker.
But like have conversations. Have conversations between the cats.
So, Yeah. I would love to do a Tony Baker style. But yeah, that'd be cool. Okay, wait. I'm considering it.
So, at Rec Cove Wilderness Cabins?
At Rec Cove Wilderness is my Instagram.
Yeah.
At Highland Bow. Pretty easy to find me if you type in my actual business name. And I'm on Facebook too. And my email and my phone number on my website.
Oh, yeah. You can find us at Live Life Intense.
Yeah.
And at Sounds of Fire. I'm Jonathan Canary. This is Lee Frazier. And we're signing off with the Queen of the Wilderness. we got a trip coming up next week. And yeah, there'll be an episode coming out.
Yeah, we're going to automate some stuff to come out next week. So you're not going to miss a week of podcast if you listen to this every week. We appreciate every listen that we get. And I'm just going to say it. It's I was listening to another podcast this week, which kind of like went into how or why rating and reviewing this is very crucial to these podcasts. It just helps with all the algorithms to kind of populate it better. Like even just a quick little like two thumbs up or two thumbs down, whatever you want. Well, ideally two thumbs up.
So share, rate, and review.
Yeah mostly review, download, share it, that sort of stuff. Really appreciate everybody listening to these podcasts. I think we've got like 200 and some subscribers right now. And yeah, send us any feedback. Oh, and we had a lot of great response from the gear podcast we did last week, so I think we're going to end up doing a series of those in the future. Anyways, thanks a lot.
Bye.
See ya.